Epilogue. When the day finally came for Katami to teach what he was taught over thousands of hours of study, more than he needed to, it was nothing more than something great that had entered into the cosmos. As he began to teach the 12 whom had been selected by the young woman, whose name was Ulatia, her sister being named Kaita, Katami finally had happiness in his life, teaching exactly what he was designed to teach. This was despite being a shunned silent prophet, the only one in existence that he knew of. Regardless, he was finally happy once again, as this period of time was nothing more than tribulation for him. The Ides of Anger had already passed, though the Great Horror was set to begin. Katami taught about the current events of the day, and even brought up passages from the set-apart texts in order that he'd be able to prove his points. As Katami taught, Misagi and Katsukun were cooking and making some beverages, nothing alcoholic, as Katami was unable to use it. That said, however, the two of them have been used to this sort of deal before, though for larger gatherings than the 12 who legitimately wanted to learn Katami's beliefs. In addition, they learned the harsh reality that everything they were believing was a set of lies and half-truths designed for mind control and brainwashing. Many of those who were brainwashed by the SOM, Bachenbach, Tormax, and Neo-Algerian leadership had one common goal, an ecumenical coercion to take the mark of destruction, of which the Creator did not judge for those who got out of the system before they were forced to knowingly take it. Katami, as always, took questions relevant to the topics at hand. It was clear that it was his entire life's goal to teach as soon as he was safe, from where Wesneth, specifically Umorodorf, would be destroyed mercilessly. With the inability to build it unless the next occupying force took it, it showed in how he was able to answer the questions almost as if he had thought of them himself. Some of the biggest detractors of his work were now to be killed off after capture, as Katami had even considered that theory. He knew it might not have been true, but if it did happen, it was likely allowed to happen by the officials in Umorodorf, as faking one's death was allowed there as well. Katami knew he had to get out of that entire debacle to work with. One young Todd, donning blue hair and fur, raised his hand. When Katami called on him to speak, he asked Katami, "As a homesteader, was this something all fox folk are supposed to learn?" Everyone gasped, as they were also wondering this as well. Katami, meanwhile, could not blame this poor kid for asking that, as homesteading did not seem like it was a virtue, but rather a vice for Neo-Algerians. "That is a great question, young one." He sighed and looked at him before asking, "What did you hear from the bishops?" "They never said anything about homesteading," the young Todd then regaled to him. "To keep it brief, I asked one of the white bishop's servants if homesteading was a requirement in the texts. Not only did he brush it off, he thought I was interested in learning about homesteading. He mocked me for it, as if he said it was a requirement. That would break the silent promise."
"The silent promise?" Katami was indeed confused at this. "As in, if you say something truthful, you get murdered kind of promise?"
"Yea, that is exactly what I speak of." This young Todd was not afraid to talk about it. It was likely, too, that he wanted out of the Neo-Algerian plantation for so long. Katami, meanwhile, nodded before speaking, regaling to the young Todd.
"To answer your question on homesteading, Methuselah had homesteaded. When Yokia asked Methuselah about why he was homesteading, Methuselah had quoted from Koshera, the writer of our first five books. Koshera was given an order from the Creator that all fox beings and other species who were grafted in were to learn how to homestead. However, they did not have to homestead immediately, but they needed to be schooled on how to do so, and what to do for self-sufficiency."
"No wonder the Neo-Altiarian leadership wanted nothing to do with homesteading," one young vixen spoke up. "That was why we were always told to rely on direct leadership, or face the consequences," as they said.
"Indeed, those who did not rely on themselves were more likely to be of a lower intelligence level than homesteaders."
Katami sat down in between Ulatia and Kaita before continuing.
There was a study done by a good friend of mine 3 years ago that measured the intelligence level of a fox who homesteaded and one who did not. There were, if I recall correctly, 3,600 pairs that were studied for this project. In the end, my friend was able to determine that the average intelligence gap between a fox who was a homesteader and a fox who was not was significantly larger than those who had the same mindset, homesteader to homesteader. On average, the intelligence gap was around 13.25 points of intelligence level compared to just 3 points of intelligence level for those who had the same mindset. Another young vixen raised her hand, and when called on, she asked Katsumi, "Since homesteading seems to be important enough to be laid out in the set apart texts, does that mean that what the Neo-Algerian leadership was doing was, in essence, calcifying our pineal gland?" For a fox's brain, from what I am aware at the very least, our pineal glands depend on so many more things. To your point of not homesteading, calcifying your pineal gland, I did find a passage in an extracurricular book, the Book of Jasper, where someone did not homestead. In that case, his pineal gland was allowed to calcify, and on top of that, he also had no ability to communicate coherently when in the presence of a priest. We do not have this priesthood anymore, as that had been too corrupted for the Creator. That was partially why Methuselah had to come down to our planet and sacrifice himself to end the priesthood as a result of its corruption beyond repair. And yet, our priests said that there was still one, though the church had been said priesthood. The first Todd who asked Katsumi his question was connecting the dots. I think that was why they wanted to believe in a priesthood, despite the fact that it was unlawful to have one now, due to our homeland being destroyed by Methuselah's one-time sacrifice on the tree. Indeed, you thought well. Katsumi sighed before continuing. I personally love when people like you connect the dots. It shows that anyone with some level of intelligence remaining after the abusive experience by Neo-Algerians will show that the pattern recognition is still there. That is because I had been studying your version you recommended for a week. The others nodded in agreement as he continued. I even told them to use the same version. I had a sneaking suspicion one of us was called to be a prophet, shepherd, or some other position in the fivefold ministry, talked about by Petronine. I have not heard that name in such a long time. Katsumi had not thought of Petronin, another one of Methuselah's disciples, just like Yokio was, though this was still the case to this day. I had not spoken with him since I was 16. I wonder what happened since I last visited. Kaita gently told Katsumi, I was with him during his last days, as he passed away 2 weeks ago. How old was he? Katsumi was confused at this point. He was around 3,540 years of age, which is still considered to be old. Kaita sighed before continuing. He told myself and three others that a witch had attacked him, and that there was nothing he could do. A witch attempted to murder me while I was moving out from Westneth to here in Armra. Katsumi recalled this horrible experience, the pain he endured through it, knowing that this could have been the day he passed away. I wonder if the same witch had attempted to murder me because I am the shunned silence prophet. I happen to know that witch. A separate Tad had piped up, a shy one with black hair and fur. She was my mother, whom I had witnessed be killed brutally by someone. She was near this area when she hit you with such a nasty projectile attack, and it was an invisible projectile too. You knew the witch who... Katsumi could not believe what he had just heard. He turned over to Katsukun and asked him, Oi, Katsukun, did you see this kid with his mother when she was attempting to end my life? Indeed, that was the same woman. Katsukun knew who was targeting Katsumi. I told him to perform civil disobedience using sleight of hand in order to completely destroy everyone who wanted to kill you again. Katsumi then turned to the tog with black fur and asked him, How many people were destroyed when you decided to follow my brother-in-law's advice? I think somewhere around 5,306 people had been taken out by what could only be described by divine force. This young Todd was not too sure about it as of yet. Maybe there were more deaths, but that was the official death count from those people.
I think that means something.
Katsumi looked through his copy of the set-apart text, and when he found exactly what it was he was looking for, he read it. He looked at the young, black-haired Todd before reading once again. After seeing it, Katsumi looked him in the eyes, placed down his book, and said,
I think you are a silent prophet in the making.
I was suspicious of that. I would like to learn more before I make my decision on if I should become a prophet or not. This Todd was not sure about it. Katsumi did not believe that for a second. He simply told him,
Why do we not just read some passages together, you and me, privately later? I would like to test and see if you are a prophet in the making.
That is fine by me, Katsumi. After the Todd said this, the others clapped. They also somehow knew this Todd might have been a silent prophet in the making. Katsumi still did not know, but that was okay for him. After calming his nerves, he continued to answer questions for the entire lunar day of rest.